Good morning, Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. This is Pastor Tony. Let us now give our hearts and minds to God in worship, praise, meditation, confession, and to the service of the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will, hear his voice. Moment for reflection. Imagine what life would be like if you were unable to feel joy and ecstasy or even feel pain and sorrow. Feelings and emotions are common gifts from the Lord. God made us to be emotional creatures. Yet, too often we find ourselves dictated and driven by mischievous emotions. These are thoughts and feelings we know are out of order and get the better of us. Meditative words of Scripture help us to keep our emotions in check. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your Spirit lead me on level ground. By God's grace and the Holy Spirit, we can clear our minds and receive the power to discipline our flesh, even when we want to stay angry or resentful. How so? First, by God's Word. The Bible urges us to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The truth of God as applied by the Holy Spirit will stabilize us, thereby tempering and leveling our emotions. This gives us the perspective and authority to rule over our runaway feelings and emotions. Who is the ruler of your feelings? We can learn to discipline our feelings through others. We must stay grounded and connected to one another. When we are feeling upset, we may be tempted to isolate ourselves. We don't want to expose our true feelings, so we withdraw from others. Don't run from those who can help you get reoriented emotionally. Ministering to the needs of others helps us to renew our hearts to the will of God. In Scripture, we see Jesus surrendering His will to the Father. The Bible tells us what Jesus said prior to dying on the cross. Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself." On the cross, Jesus bowed His head. He chose the path to surrendering so sinners could inherit eternal life. Surrendering to the will of the Father called for Jesus to die on the cross. And what about our surrendering to the Father? We die with Jesus on the cross. Salvation comes no other way. When we bow our head to surrender to the will of God, our flesh is crucified and Christ is exalted as Lord. The Bible reminds us we are crucified with Christ. Every time we want to lash out in anger, but we hold our peace, our flesh is crucified. Every time we want to pass on some juicy gossip or criticism, but keep it to ourselves, we crucify the flesh. This is the will of the Father. Reflect on this. Every time we bow our heads in acceptance of and surrender to the will of the Father, we embrace the cross with Christ. By this, we manifest to the world the very heart of Christ, who bowed His head to the will of the Father and not His own. How would bowing your head make a difference in the way you approach those who hurt you? Would you bow your head if it led to others being impacted by your love of Christ? Or would you rather exercise your right to hurt another right back? How many marriages could have been saved in the last decade if either partner would have bowed his or her head to the will of the Father? Would broken families have stayed together if members bowed their head to the will of the Father? Instead of striving to win every argument, why not bow your head to the will of the Father? Father God, the Lord of life, we come into your presence with humble hearts. We come with awareness that none are holy but you, O God. We cry out and you rescue us. We ask and you provide. We knock and your door opens. When lost, you lead us back to truth. When sadness invades our hearts, you give us songs of praise to sing. We glorify you, O God. You declared us your people and you call us by name. Keep us in your sights that we may not wander beyond the boundary of your holy will. We are but sheep, O God, defenseless in a world full of wolves outside your pastures. O God, teach us to seek your will in the decisions of life. Teach us to be watchful in these evil days. Teach us to pray for one another, to pray for those in spiritual bondage, and to persevere in prayer as the world down spirals into wickedness. Teach us to be watchful, for the devil prowls about seeking whom he may kill and destroy. Teach us to be our brother's keeper in these evil times. O God, our sins are many. Sin continues to linger in us. We live and work in the midst of sin, and we are assaulted by crushing temptations each day. Help us, O God, with our sinful habits, our sinful tongue, pride, arrogance, our sowing discord, and lying tongue. We confess our sins, O God. We look to Jesus and claim his blood to wash us from all sin and unrighteousness. Teach us, O God, to be watchful of temptations that bring about our spiritual fall. Give us righteous desires to pursue that we may not grieve you, O God. Thank you, O God, for Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. By the power of your command, you called our church to come forth by placing the vision in the heart of our dear Elder Harriet Spruggs. O God, we mourn this very hour, for our founder has passed on to glory. Thank you for giving us this great woman of God, who heeded your call, obeyed your voice, and labored in your heavenly vineyard. May the fruit of our labors ever build on the foundation laid by Elder Harriet. May the fruit of saved souls be an ongoing testimony of the labors of Elder Harriet. We shall sorely miss her, O God. Keep our hope for a sweet reunion resonating in our hearts as we go forward. O God, bless our families and households. May healing, comfort, and peace reside with us. We ask, O God, for you to unite broken families, heal marriages and relationships. We have many needs among us, O God. Abundantly provide them all. Teach us to be grateful for all that you give us and teach us to be content in your governance. O God, we intercede for our nation. We ask for divine favor to fall on the land. Divided as we are, O God, we seek spiritual change, revival, a national return to living by the precepts of Christ. We intercede for our leaders who you call to serve. Give them godly wisdom that they may rule wisely, justly, and righteously. Lead our nation, O God, to your throne of grace. O God, we pray for those suffering lingering pestilence and disease throughout the land. Shower all with your healing grace. Raise the sick and the shut-ins from their beds and from the hospitals that they may glorify your healing power. Heal our land, O God, from all spiritual maladies. O God, we ask special blessings be poured on the bereaved this very hour. We ask that you embrace the Scruggs family. It is disheartening, O God, to bid farewell to a mother, sister, aunt, friend, and companion. Elder Harriet was our patriarch, O God. Replace the sorrow of the Scruggs family with the joy of the Lord. May the Scruggs name never become a whisper, but may it echo loudly among all the names of your holy ones, O God. We know the first death is not the end of our story. Nevertheless, O God, sorrow fills our hearts. For all the bereaved in our midst, O God, may their grief be but for a moment. O God, we pray for the coming of thy kingdom. We know other sheep have yet to come to the fold. Save someone each day, O God, until such time Jesus returns for us. Hear our prayer of supplication, O God. May our prayer be the sweet aroma filling your holy temple for eternity. Now, Father God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. A few moments, let's consider this meditation theme, partner of Jesus or an associate. At a law firm, there is a huge difference between the partners and associate attorneys. A law firm partner is an attorney with partial ownership of the law firm. A partner earns benefits not given to non-partners. Also true, the partners worked hard and spent many hours to build the firm. Naturally, the partners are privy to the vision and direction of the firm. Simply put, associate attorneys are simply regular employees. I see something similar in Jesus' relationship with his disciples. When putting on a banquet, it is custom for the host to decide who sits at the seats of honor. After all, with Jesus as the host of heaven, the house, table, and food belongs to Jesus. You might notice those seated close to Jesus. Why were they given those seats? Is it not likely those seated closest to Jesus are those who proved to be invested partners in Jesus? Our scripture lesson for our meditation is Mark chapter 9. Jesus steals away from the crowds and busyness of everyday life. Jesus needs to be in the presence of the Father. Let's focus on verses 2 through 5. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Amen. Who are the partners? Who are the associates? What's the difference? Consider the commonality of partners and associates. Both are saved, but only partners are discerning of the power of Jesus transforming their lives for the great work of ministry. Think of the associates of Jesus as those who enjoy the benefits of being acquainted to Jesus, but are less available to him. Those who become partners of Jesus fully invest themselves in the work of saving souls. Partners aim to love and serve others. In doing so, they serve Jesus, all to the glory of God. Jesus' most trusted disciples were Peter, James, and John. In his moments of solitude with the Father, these disciples accompanied Jesus. God loves both the partners and associates, and both are invited to work alongside Jesus. But only the partners savor their time with Christ. The associates are spiritually handicapped because they focus more on the mundane things of life. Imagine Jesus comes to Cleveland to interview you. Jesus needs genuine partners to engage in all levels of ministry. Jesus places an ad in the Plain Dealer to summon those desiring to be a partner and to join Jesus' discipleship team. So began Jesus' campaign to build an exclusive firm of partners to be global fishers of men. Your interview with Jesus will reveal if you are ready to be elevated as partner or remain an associate. In your daily life, are you a partner or an associate of Jesus? In our text, Jesus steals away from the crowds, onlookers, and the busybodies. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him. These 3 disciples escorted Jesus many times when he needed quiet time with the Father. In their walk alongside Jesus, they are ultimately elevated as partners of Jesus. Here's the deal, Jesus and his transfiguration. Peter, James, and John are with Jesus when he suddenly transfigures before their eyes. Jesus' raiment and appearance becomes white as snow. What a revelation for these disciples to see the splendid glory of Jesus unfolding before them. These would later be called into intense ministry. The point here is only the closest of the original 12 disciples are chosen to look upon the glory of Jesus as it really is. It stands to reason those who choose to closely walk with Jesus are likely to observe the glory of Jesus in their lives. As partners with Jesus, what can you expect? First, as a partner, you are a member of Jesus' inner circle. You are invested in the hard labors of building God's kingdom. You undertake the ministry of saving souls, fulfilling lingering spiritual needs, and purposely doing spiritual things to grow in faith. Jesus' interview tells the truth about your closeness to Jesus. So many are content remaining on the sidelines in the work of faith. Many Christians are content following Jesus from a distance, but staying close enough to reap physical benefits. Associates are like those who sought Jesus only for physical food. They wanted Jesus only to fulfill temporal needs. Partners know the transfiguration shows outer change that started with inner change in the heart. Partners undergo spiritual change from within that ultimately shines outward as if they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. associates are more inclined to masquerade change. Second, as a partner, you walk elbow to elbow with Jesus. You experience firsthand how Jesus shepherded the shepherdless. You purposely seek to connect with others as Jesus did. Partners of Jesus spare nothing to redeem a dying soul. Jesus' interview with you will reveal if you walk in the true knowledge of God. It reveals if your walk is intimate or merely intellectual. Jesus needs partners who are willing to live as he lived and serve as he served in the valleys of ordinary life. Associates are content with reveling in the fringe benefits of Jesus, but are suspiciously absent when the hard work of ministering to the poor and dejected is needed. Associates are not inclined to sacrifice or suffer on behalf of people they don't know. They don't realize suffering is the roadmap to becoming a partner of Jesus. Partners discern the presence of Jesus in real life experiences. Partners will recall when Jesus reached down to pull them out of eternal doom. Third, as a partner, no sacrifice is too high to remain fully vested in Jesus. As Jesus ministered as the Father directed him, so will the partners minister as Jesus directs them. Partners aim to bear fruit because they are connected to the power source, Jesus. Jesus' interview will reveal where our lives conflict with his. We need Jesus to help us see what life adjustments are necessary to be fruitful partners. Partners of Jesus are available to receive revelation from the Master. Peter, James, and John were instructed not to tell the other 9 disciples what they saw in that mountain. Being with Jesus, these disciples received clarity of the living word by which their faith was solidified. These 3 are totally yielded to Christ. No doubt, the associates to Jesus want to experience the spiritual highs that comes being near Jesus, but without investing in him. The associates, they are invited to become bona fide partners of Jesus. My friends, take this with you in your reflections today. Being a partner with Jesus is not about giving up your life, family, or career. It is about making the most of the opportunities to share Jesus. Jesus does not demand you to abandon your family to go preach in the deep jungles of Brazil for the good of the kingdom. We can be missionaries in our own land, in our household, anywhere. Wherever a living soul that has not yielded to the call of repentance, a partner of Jesus is needed to bring about redemption. The message here is to make every opportunity to walk in Jesus' footsteps as a productive partner. Take advantage of every opportunity that arises to tell another. My friend, let me tell you about Jesus. We become partners of Jesus when we involve ourselves in the lives of others. Take, for example, the young people. They need guidance. Many of our young people live without any faith training. Many of our young people were raised in Christian homes, but are now living lifestyles void of Jesus' faith and the love of God. Partners of Jesus can help the young people and lead them back into the faith of Jesus. As a partner of Jesus, you will encounter many trials, afflictions, failures, losses, and successes. All this happens in the context of ordinary life. True enough, many Christians are called to be missionaries in a foreign land. But for most of us, our call to be partners of Jesus will take place where we work and play. Father God, thank you for your precious sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, who is the light that dispels the darkness in man's mind and heart. Restore in us a clean heart, one bent on being in Jesus' circle of partners. Give us resolve to take up our cross with Jesus as productive partners in daily ministry. We ask for these moments of worship and reflection to be planted in the good soil of our hearts. May the seed of your word blossom in us into an abundant spiritual harvest for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You gotta be living for Jesus.